Now, if you'll take your Bible and open it to Galatians, this will be our last visit, our last foray into the book of Galatians. We're in Galatians chapter 6. We'll polish off the book today, God willing. I'm going to say this. I've really thoroughly enjoyed teaching this. I hope you've thoroughly enjoyed learning this. Next up is Ephesians. If you feel kind of chastised about Galatians, and I've been waving my finger and yelling and hollering and stuff like that, it's the nature of the book. Ephesians, by the way, there's going to be a lot of that in this. This is who you are in Christ. And it's wonderful as we just, the blessings that flow from the book of Ephesians is incredible. You say, oh, it's going to be your favorite book. You always, the one you're teaching is always your favorite book. Listen, Ephesians is most everyone's favorite book. You'll love it. If you don't know it, you'll love it. If you already know it, you'll love it more. It's a wonderful book. It speaks for itself. And the nature of it, again, I don't think you'll walk out feeling very beaten up. And I don't want to be that beat up pastor. I don't want to be that guy who beat you up. I do want to separate you from dependency on keeping the law to get saved. Say, what are you talking about? Now, let me set the table before we finish the book of Galatians. Paul, the apostle, preaches the gospel to, in southern Turkey, there's an area called Galatia. It's not a single town, okay? It's like Kennebec Valley. And he goes in and he saves many people. They respond to the gospel and they get saved. Now, people come in behind him. They call them the Judaizers, making Jews out of people. Well, these are Gentiles. They're not Jewish people. And so they come in and say, yeah, Jesus, totally cool. But if you really want to go to heaven, if you really want to do this thing right, you have to do ceremonial law. You have to be circumcised. You have to keep Jewish dietary laws. You got to keep the feast day. You got to keep the sacrifice. You got to go to temple. We've done the same thing. If I were to go outside the walls of this church and ask people, I'm standing outside of Kmart and I've got a microphone in my hand. I got a camera crew and I'm saying, okay, how do you get to heaven? Most people say, well, I think you've got to be a good person. I don't think you should kill anyone. I don't think you should cheat on your spouse. I don't think you should steal. I think you should be honest. I think you should treat people like you want to be treated. And all of that is rubbish. All of that the Bible knows nothing about as far as you getting to heaven. We understand Jesus died for our sins. We get to heaven. It's a free ticket based on the payment that he's made for us. We're sinners. And you know, you talk to them people, and they get a sense of like, you know, God is really ticked off at sin. He is a holy God, and he doesn't like sin at all, and we're in a heap of trouble. They get that much, okay? They understand that. They intuit that. They get it. And that's correct. God does not like sin. So they think they got to stop sinning and do good. And they got to do more good than they do evil. And it's all weighed out, and God grades on a curve, and he says, yep, you guys in, because you did more good and you did less evil. And that's all doggerel. The Bible knows nothing of that. And most people, you taking it random, believe that. And that's good. Now, God's mad at sin. You're right about that. He's upset. He doesn't like sin at all. The wages of sin is death. You deserve hell. You deserve damnation. You deserve separation from God eternally because of your sin. Now enter Jesus, the Son of God. He dies. He pays the penalty for our sin, and he buys for us redemption. Here, a ticket to heaven. You can be God's chosen child. You can live in his forever family. God will love you based on what I've done, not based on what you can or can't accomplish. And that's the book of Galatians in a nutshell. Now, so they come in there and they fracture the church. Part of them are saying, oh yeah, you know, you got to keep the law. And so we have these Gentile adult men getting circumcised. Can you believe such a thing? Aren't you glad your gospel does not include that? What a weird knocking on doors. Hey, you want to get circumcised and go to heaven? And they're like, and you know, you see the door slam in your face, and I don't blame them. It's a crazy gospel, isn't it? So here they are, they're telling us, so people are buying into that. And so we have this part of the church, and we have this part over here saying, well, it doesn't matter what you do anyway, so let's just do all we want to do. Let's just sin up a storm. It's called antinomianism. That's the theological term. A lot of people believe that still. You know, like, yeah, I know I'm smoking dope and I'm living with my girlfriend, but God's blessed, and it doesn't really matter at all anyway because Jesus died for my sins. That's entirely wrong. That's not correct at all. And then there are people who are just spirit-filled, led by the Spirit. They're living good lives, not because they're trying to get to heaven, because they're going to heaven. Not trying to make themselves children of God, but because they're children of God. And this is where, now in chapter 6, where we last week, Paul's taught the teachings. He's like, don't believe what these people are saying. It's a trap. It's deadly. It's poison. It's the Kool-Aid, okay? It's the Jim Jones juice that's going to kill you to death or worse. It's going to damn you eternally. Don't buy into that. And now he's putting the church back together in chapter 6, and we got out to as far as verse 6, and we ended up, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And now in verse 7, we'll start in verse 7, okay? Don't be deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. He's going to make this so basic that the third graders among us can just totally get this. This is not a hard theological concept. Hey, don't be mistaken about this. You can't mock God. God's not laughed at. At the end of the day, you're going to sow what you reap. Well, these people came in, they sowed division, and they reaped a church that was all broken in different factions. And Paul's putting this back together, and he's wagging a finger at them, saying, they're going to get what they've sown. They're going to reap what they've sown. You understand sowing and reaping. Some of you guys have a garden. Some of you guys are farmers. Some of you grew up on a farm or things like this. We understand sowing and reaping. What do we know? Well, we know this. I plant tomatoes, and I don't look for watermelons. Basic, right? We don't plant lima beans and grow peach trees. It just doesn't happen. We get what we plant. Now, we get it after a season. We don't plant today and reap tomorrow. There's a season. And I wish there was such a cause and effect in this world that as soon as you did something wrong, you get a little electric shock or something like that. So there was a definite cause and effect, but it doesn't work that way. The Bible says we sow the wind, we reap the whirlwind, but we don't do it overnight. And sometimes people don't realize that what they're doing has an outcome later on. And this just works only 100% of the time, always. And it never doesn't work. If you're a small-minded, selfish little jerk, and that's what you're sowing, it's going to come back on you. People ain't going to care about you. They're not going to love you. They're not going to flock to you. Now, if you're very loving, very caring, very warm, very others centered person, that's your life. That's what you're sowing. That's what you're going to reap. This, when we talk about sowing and reaping, people use it they use it two ways. They use it financially because they're interested in your money. If you're visiting here, I forgot to take up an offering. We don't take up an offering. We don't care about your money. You're welcome. Put your checkbook away. We got it. Thanks for being here, okay? You cool with that? Because we like to be able to say that to people, you know. People get some, how do you function? How do you turn the lights on and pay the rent and stuff like that? Because God's got people and he works in their lives and in their minds and we're totally good. People who get something cooking with God generally figure stuff out and that's it. That's all I have to say on that. Okay? So people always talk about the sowing and reaping, like you sow a seed of faith and you give $100 as ministry and you'll reap $10,000 and shut up. You're just an annoying idiot. You ever watch one of those shows that they're on for like a half hour and 20-something minutes they're trying to get into your wallet and there's one and they get one little gospel something, little tiny, just shut up. Oh, if you don't give your check, we're off the air. Just get off the air. You're blaspheming God. You make him sound like he's filing chapter 11 and you're giving people a very bad view of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus hung naked on a cross to give you eternal life. He doesn't need your money. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. God's a giver. He's not a taker. Yeah, I just want everyone to know that. And I'm sorry for what you saw on TV. I'm sorry. We're not about that. So that is the sowing and reaping. Is that part of the circle? Yeah, it's one little tiny sliver. Put that aside. In your whole life, whatever you sow, you reap. In kindness, in gentleness, in faith, in jerkiness, in selfishness, in stupid, you just get back what you sow. You get back what you sow, and there's a lag in between planting and reaping. We get that. And you get back much more than you sow. You plant the seed. You get a whole tree. You plant an apple seed, little tiny, little apple seed, you get an apple tree. You plant a little tomato seed, and you get this big bush, and you got tomatoes just hanging off it all, hopefully. I'd have a good tomato season. I love tomatoes. My cucumbers did real good for the first time ever, you know. But tomatoes, we get this, like, up in my area, we get this, like, this is in the soil or the rain or something. They get this blight. So I got this anti-blight medicine for them off a friend, and it didn't work. I had like six Brandywine, and I didn't get a single tomato off those six plants. No, not even one. But they grew and they got all blighted, and they were nasty, and you wouldn't put it in your mouth and eat it. It was, like I say, nasty. But here's what I'm saying, though. Anyway, that's all free, okay? I'm not charging for that. But you plant a little seed, and you get a big crop. That's how it works. The Bible tells us you sow the wind, you reap the whirlwind. You always get what you sow at a season in between, and you get much more than you sow. That only works 100% of the time, okay? So we get that. Like I say, the third graders among us would understand that principle. They get this too. Don't be deceived about it. You're not going to be the only one. Well, I'm going to be a jerky, selfish, unkind curmudgeon, and God's going to just bless my socks off with friends and good relationships. And no, God's not mocked. What? No, God's not mocked. You get what you sow. You reap what you sow. Always. He that soweth his flesh shall of the flesh reach corruption. Your flesh. And we're not talking about skin. We're talking about that sinful desire, that human nature, that part of you that never knows enough. Joe Foch always, and I'm kind of like listening to him, and I laugh. He always like this, you know, Thanksgiving, like you're eating and eating and eating and eating and eating till you've satisfied your hunger. You're putting your stretchy pants on, you're unbuttoning your top button, you're sweating, your diaphragm's pushed way up here, you can hardly even breathe anymore. And you just think, like, I'm this close to death. I'm going to eat myself into oblivion. And then they bring out the dessert. Maybe if somebody puts their foot in my throat and pushes this down, I can get a couple of slivers of pie. Why do you want the pie? Why do you want the dessert? With the whipped cream and the ice cream and all the cream and all the... Why do you want that? You're, like, not hungry. That appetite, that flesh, that desire for more and more and more. That's what we're talking about, that insatiable. Do people, like, load up on pornography? Oh, I've seen enough. I'm quite full, thank you. Sex sin, alcohol, drugs, does that work that way? Oh, I've done heroin. Psh, I'm going to retire undefeated. I've done all the drugs in the world. No, why does it work that way? Why does alcohol so got a hook on your life and stuff? Why is it that way? It's the flesh. It's insatiable. It never is filled. And this is what he's talking about when he's talking about the flesh. If you sow to the flesh, what are you going to reap? You shall of the flesh reap corruption. It's black and white. There's no argument here. There's no debate. And we've seen it in our lives only 1,000 times. But now, on the other part, he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Listen, this is a wonderful thing. This sowing and reaping, this is wonderful because it works in both directions. All you want to, listen, I want to like terrific marriage. I sow kindness and generosity and thoughtfulness and love into my marriage. What am I going to reap? Abundantly. Well, listen, God's not mocked. I'm going to get kindness and generosity and love and all kinds of good stuff. It works that way, like I say, 100% of the time. Why is this important to the book of Galatians? They've sowed discord. They've sowed anarchy. They've sowed bad doctrine. They're divisive. Is that going to come back on them? In spades. You bet it will. What should you be sowing? Spiritual unity. His call for unity in verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate to him that teaches in all good things. He said in this, you should be lining up behind me, your pastor, is what Paul's saying to the Galatian church. None of this would have come about. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now he's talking about, well, I don't want to reap what I've sown, too late for that. But here's the thing. We start reaping good things, we get an abundance of good things when we go out with the to reap. We get what we've sown. Well, don't be weary in well doing. Good stuff's coming. No, it really is. Now, here we can put in a financial aspect, obviously. I mean, I was poorer than a church. We were poorer than church mice, and we gave, and God's blessed us financially. Not wealth. You don't really ever want wealth, but we've always done okay. Now, see how that works? But it'll work in every venue, every avenue, every aspect of your life. Only all the time. It's infallible. It always works out the way. Why? Because God put it in place, and God's not mocked. So you keep doing the thing that you know that you're supposed to be doing. I pray and nothing ever happens, and I pray some more, and I share the gospel with this person, and they never get saved. And be not weary in well doing. You're doing good. Keep up the good work. Don't faint. Don't pass out. Don't drop the ball. Don't collapse. Don't be timid. Just keep up doing what you're supposed to be doing. That's all. What's the option? Oh, I feel faint. By the way, if you're a guy, that's off the table. Forget about it, right? Just keep going till you drop. We're guys. That's what we do. So I'm not a guy. I'm a lady. What do I do? Don't faint. Keep doing the thing that you're supposed to be doing. You're going in due season. We shall reap. Any questions? We shall reap. That's a wonderful promise of God. Isn't God good? You get what's coming to you. He's not mocked. Is he not keeping good score? Because I've been working my tail off, and frankly, things aren't coming back to me. Not yet. They will. They will. Keep doing the right thing. I mean, absolutely positive is going to work. We're going to reap in due season if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. So we're going to do good to everybody else. Fighting, infighting, tribalism, we're this tribe, they're that tribe, we're this team, they're that. No. No, we're going to do good to all men, especially of the household of faith. You want to bless people who are underprivileged, they have a problem making ends meet. So, yay, amen. We're all about that, right? First, the household of faith. Take care of your own first. That's what he's saying. He's saying, well, I look around the household of faith. Most here have jobs. Most here are doing okay. Praise God. Isn't God good? Because we're hard workers and you get what you reap what you sow. We're very rarely are any of us out of work, by the way. I remember we had a hurricane down in Jersey. Was it Sandy? And they were looking for a group to go down. And I got an email, and I was talking to Ron, and he's, well, what about this? Well, no, he's working. He's got a new job. He's got a promotion. And I'm thinking, we don't have anyone out of work. Isn't that incredible in this economy? No, but, and then, someone comes to me and say, yeah, they're talking about promoting me at work, and I'm going to get this and a raise, and I'm thinking, praise God. The cream always rises. That's just the way it works. It doesn't surprise me that you hardworking people get promotions and plaudits, accolades, the corner office. I don't doubt that at all. Why? Because you reap what you sow. Now, therefore, do opportunity. Let us do good unto all men. This is the opposite of what the Judaizers were doing. They were coming in dividing. And he's trying to unify. No, we want to do good to everybody. Now, you see how large a letter I have written unto you in my own hand. Big debate on this that you don't care about at all. I'm telling you, you don't care about. Koine Greek was small and cursive. This is, they call it open Greek, and it was the Greek that scholars would use, large block letters, big. Is that this? Some people want to debate and say it is. Some people say this is Paul's ophthalmia shining through here in Scripture. Remember earlier in the epistle he said, you would have given me your own eyes if you could do such a thing? Strange thing to say to somebody who has perfect eyesight. I think listen, let me just tell you what I think is going on here and why it's important. He doesn't have an amanuensis. He doesn't have somebody he's dictating this to who's writing it all down. He does that. He does that in several epistles. In Romans, it's Tertius. I, Tertius, who write this epistle, greet you, remember? And then Paul signs it with his own hand because there were forgeries going around saying they were from Paul that weren't. So he signs it with his own hand. And I think if somebody has a... anyone here have a large... Don't raise your hand. You got a large print Bible? What does that tell you? Tell you you're getting old, you're getting a little gray in your beard like me, and you need a little help. I don't have a large print Bible. I get contacts. And if I don't wear my contacts, I have a large print Bible. You know what I mean? It'd be like a big old, you take two hands to turn a page kind of. What happens? We start losing our sight. I think he's saying, look at with what large letters I'm using to write. It's not a big epistle by his standards. It's only six chapters. You know, Romans is 16 chapters, right? 1 Corinthians. What is it? 2 Corinthians 12. So we get to this is the shortest epistle that we've handled by him so far. I think he's saying this. You see how I'm using these big, this is so important that I write this. I couldn't even wait for somebody to come around and so I could dictate this to him. This is that important. What's that important? Don't try to earn heaven by keeping the law, any law. It'll never work. It'll give you religion, and religion is the end of the game. It's the worst thing that can happen. You just come in and say, this guy up front, he's saying religion's bad. It's horrible bad. It's the worst. It's grim. It's you think you can keep laws, and God will say, wow, you're rocking it. You're doing an excellent job. The religious people killed Jesus. We're not big fans of religion. We're big fans of Jesus Christ. Our God died on a cross. He didn't come to give us religion. I was brought up in religion, and it never helped me. It never helped me. It didn't change my heart. It didn't change who I was fundamentally. Religion says, listen, you're doing bad because you're a bad guy. Try harder. And so I tried harder, and I'd fall all the more. Does it sound like your life at all? Because it's my life. It's all of our lives outside of Christ. Religion will do one of two things. And I've said this only 100 times. Please allow me to say it 101 times. Religion will do one of two things. If you perceive that you're doing a good job in religion, it's going to make you a Pharisee. You're going to be impossible to be around. Well, I keep all the laws. How come you can't? When you get to be big and holy and wonderful like me, maybe God will like you like he likes me. That's a horrible statement. The outset, God loves you. He couldn't love you anymore. He won't love you any less. And it's got nothing at all to do with your activity. Deal with that. If you're awesome and you're just doing everything for God, he's like, thanks, that's cool. Does he love you more? No. He loves us so much, he gave Jesus his son to die for our sins. So much he loves us. When we were sinners, when we were disobedient, when we were rebels, when we didn't care anything about him. He won't love you more because you're doing better. Now, the other side of religion is you perceive you're not doing so good, and then you're all depressed. I wish I could just pray more, and I wish I could read the Bible more, and I wish I could witness to people more, and I wish I could give more. And now you're all depressed. Does God want you all depressed, walking around all the time, beating your breast? Oh, I'm such a horrible person. Yeah, you are. Suck it up. I mean, that's why God died. That's why Jesus died for our sins, because we're horrible people. And he doesn't want you just always, you know, the thing about that is you're always thinking inward. It's always about us. It's always about, I can't do good to other people. I'm I'm worried about how bad I am all the time. Yeah, I'm a sinner. Who cares? He died for my sins. He's filled me with his spirit. He's enabled me to look past my own silly little life right here. You know, people live life right here and it's all about them all the time. I don't want to be that guy. I mean, I don't want to look out and see what the need is and meet it. And help the hurting and comfort the afflicted and give wisdom to those who don't know and just don't you want to be that person? Religion won't get you there. Spirit of God will. I couldn't even wait. This is so important that I share this to you. I couldn't even wait for somebody to come around that I can dictate to them. I had to write it with my big old blocky large letters. It's just. And I think that's what he's saying here. It's that important. It's that urgent. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. But neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, they may glory in your flesh. That's a mouthful. I wish you said that first. It would have been one verse, and we would have been done. They want you circumcised. Hey, they only do it so they don't have to be, so they're not suffering persecution. The gospel that I'm sharing with you, Jesus died for your sins, and in him you have eternal life, will get you persecuted. Why? Because religious people hate it. Welcome to my life. You can't do anything. What do you mean? I've been doing all this stuff. I've been writing the checks out, and I put the stain in the stained glass windows, and I've been going to this church for 27 years. You're telling me I can't do anything to earn my standing with God? That's exactly right. I'm telling you, you can't do anything, and people hate that. Oh, you tell them that, and they get it. They're going to swallow up, and they're going to rain all over you. They hate that message. It brings persecution. Welcome to my life. Susan, tell you, I mean, when I accepted Christ, I mean, was that everyone did the happy monkey dance at my house? My mom and my dad and my brothers and sisters? No. I got a niece who's a nun. I got another one who's a monk, brother, some character. Not a priest, but some other religious order. And I come along, believe in Jesus. You think they've liked that? No, it brings persecution. And Paul's saying the only reason they give you this message, do religion, because do religion will never bring persecution. And look at the other part of this. This is so important. Neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised. They may glory in your flesh. There's a reason they're doing this, but they're not keeping the law they're telling you to keep. What the? What are you saying to me? Listen, keep the law. You got to keep the law. You got to keep the law. You got to keep the law. You keep the law? No. They can't. Who does? Nobody ever yet. One was perfect. One kept the law, and they crucified him. Nobody else has ever kept it. So they're coming in and saying, you got to keep the law. You got to keep the law. You got to do Torah. You got to keep the law. You got to keep the festivals. You got to keep Sabbath. You got to be circumcised. You got to do all this stuff. Now it's a different message sometime. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to knock on doors, sell watchtower. You got to go to temple. You got to do whatever it is their brand is. But that's not going to get you there either. They tell you got to keep the law, but they're not keeping it. Never, ever, ever. I've never met a law keeper. And the ones who are saying, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this, aren't ever. This tells us that nobody's ever kept the law. Listen, if you don't get to heaven by grace, I'm in a room full of hellbound people and I'm the ringleader of the bunch. If it's not grace, if it's not the grace of God to Jesus Christ our Lord, none of us have any hope. If you think you're rocking it, you're awesome, you're doing it, you're self-deceived, you're not deceiving us, and you're ridiculous. You are, good, bring the persecution. Oh, no, I'm doing all this. You're doing nothing. You're ridiculous. You're not keeping the law. The Bible tells you you're not keeping the law. We've visited here before. Can you keep the law? 613 rules. One of them is don't suffer a witch to live. You guys been, and we're talking about witch. We're not talking about somebody who's witchy. Okay, stop. Put the rock down. That's not, I mean, a real life witch. How do you keep that one? I'm just wondering because what do you do in that situation? But that's one of the laws. And I'm not even going to go with circumcision. I'm not even going there. Think of some of the other laws. You got to go to Jerusalem 3 times a year and keep festival to the temple. You say, what temple? There's no temple in Jerusalem. I know. How do you keep the law? On Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, you got to go see a high priest. So what high priest? I know. How are you keeping the law? Because I know a lot of people tell us, you got to keep the law. I'm thinking like, one, it's unavailing. Two, it is impossible. Do you realize it's impossible? The law calls us to stone prophets. Anyone ever here say, you know, God's given me a word for you, and it was totally wrong? Did you stone him according to the law? Do you remember last week we were in John chapter 8, and they brought the religious people. Oh, we love religion. We want to do it right. They brought a woman who was taken in adultery. You guys stone an adulteress because you got to keep the law. I'm giving up on the law. You think it's a wonderful thing. Go ahead and stone adulteresses. Have you done that? Now, there's the lady taking adultery. There's the people who want to stone her. And then there's Jesus. Did he stone her? No. Did he fix the situation? Yeah. You think she's doing adultery after that? I'm guessing not. That's not an account of what Jesus Christ will do for you. He will change you and your at your fundamental core. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. If any person, okay, man here meaning mankind. If anyone comes to Christ, he's a new creation. Old things, well, they're passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He can change you. He makes you a new creature. It's called being born again. Will religion do that? Only never. That's why we're anti-religion. We follow Jesus. We love Jesus. Religion doesn't enter into the picture. People tell us we got to be more religious. They're not doing religion right. Here he's saying, they that themselves, they're circumcised, who are circumcised, keep the law. They desire to have you circumcised, but they're not keeping the law. And they want to glory in your flesh. See how many followers I have? See all the people? Listen, we all do this all the time. We have friends on Facebook. We got 8,000,017 because we're so popular. We're athletic. We have a trophy room. We have all our memorabilia proudly displayed on our house, no matter what venue we're in, or in our driveway. I've been really successful. I've been killing it on Wall Street. And look at my new Mercedes, Lexus, whatever it is. And by the way, if you have one of them, hallelujah. God blesses us. Like that's cool. But if that's what you're trying to show your status, how important you are, how wonderful you are, how successful you are, how whatever you are, that's back to this. It's this glory. It's just people do it at church. Okay? People ask me, how's it going? Good, I guess. I don't know, right? I'll find out in the boss's office on payday. Until then, I'm just going to keep plugging away, doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing. Well, how many people come out to ask? That's the next question. Because if we're going to three services and each service is filled to capacity, we know God's really here and God's really blessing, right? There are a lot of big churches. I wouldn't darken the door. And I tell you, go check YouTube. And you get on the podcast and get religious / spirituality and see who the top podcasters are. Like three out of the top three last week have never been on my, I've never listened to a podcast by them. And probably 6 or 7 out of the top 10, I would be very upset if you were listening to them regularly. But I digress. They're big. They're known. People know them. It's, like I say, spiritual people do it too. We try to get a following. Well, that's all they're doing at Galatians. They come in there preaching this false gospel. See how many people line up behind them. Look at what I'm doing. I'm doing the Lord's work. Look at all the converts I have. All these guys getting circumcised now. Really? We do it too. It's all about glory. It's all about the flesh. God forbid that I should glory. Paul says, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified and me, I into the world. When we look at the book of Philippians, boy, there's a lot of reasons he can glory, but he doesn't. And he's saying, the only thing I want to brag about is the cross. I want to brag about what Jesus Christ has done for us. And that's all I want to, at the end of the day, that's all I want to talk about. Does Paul have things to brag about? Yes, he does. He's an incredible human being. What does he brag about? The cross. I just want to tell you how awesome our God is. And all that other stuff, the world's crucified to me. I'm crucified to the world. It doesn't count. It's all destined for, it's all earmarked for destruction. There's going to be a fervent noise, great heat. It's all going to melt away. Why are we bragging about stuff that's not going to last into eternity? Everything's transient. He's saying, like, I think I want to build up stuff that's going to last. And that's the cross of Jesus Christ. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. That's what I'm talking about. If anyone in Christ, he's a new creation, right? New creature. It's the exact same phrase. Is that important? Yeah. Is circumcision important? No. No. That's the whole book of Galatians summed up in a verse. People can be, oh, you got to be circumcised. Like, huh? No, I read Galatians chapter 6. I've been listening to this Jewish root stuff, and I told you I have, right? And he got me really mad. He called me a Nazi. He called you a Nazi, too. He was talking about people calling the name of the Lord, and they're saved, i.e. Jews. So he has salvation outside of Jesus Christ. That's called heresy, okay? Just so you know. And then he said, oh yeah, the Jews in the concentration camps call on the Lord, and they were saved, i.e. going to heaven when they die. And the Christians, he said, were throwing Jews into the oven and then going home and listening to their Christmas carols. What? I'm a Christian. So he said, I'm not. Or apparently, he distanced himself from Christians. I'm thinking like he got caught in his own rhetoric. Because he's all like, Torah's great, Torah's great, Torah's great. I'm thinking, yeah, Torah's great. We just don't get saved by it. Hello? I never said the Bible's bad, did I? It tells us very many wonderful things about God, about his nature, about who he is, about his holiness. We study it, New and Old Testament. We love it. We can't get enough of it. I'm sad I only get to teach 3 times a week. Saying, you're crazy. That's a given. I love it. I can't get enough. I'm way ahead of my Bible reading. I'm going to finish like a whole month early. I just can't get enough Bible. I love what the Word of God says. Yeah, Torah's great. We're not going to get saved by it. And then when he called me a Nazi, like, you think any of the Nazis were Christians? Listen, honestly, I think it happens like this. His Christianity, his Nazism, and I think they probably had a place where they overlapped a little bit. So we had some very confused Christians in that. I bet that happened. You know, people say all these things about Christians, you just have to wonder. You know, some people think that Crusaders and Christians are the same thing. And I'm sure there was that little overlapping in those, if I draw those circles again. Those people who follow Jesus Christ, you think, well, I'm going to go free up this land and kill people, and I'm a follower of Jesus Christ? Is that, you guys want to do that? Let's get our weapons, sally forth and kill people who are, really? That's not on my radar at all. I love Jesus. Killing Jews, throwing them in ovens, that on your radar? You want to get together and join a Fourth Reich? Not so much, right? That's not a follower of Jesus Christ. So I got really upset at him. I just took his podcast right off my... Because at the end of the day, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, neither uncircumcision. That's not what it's all about. It never was about that. It never was about rule-keeping. Circumcision, shorthand for all Mosaic law. Have you given up on the law? It's never going to take you where you think you're going to be, where you think you want to be. Oh, man. And as many as walk according to this rule. What rule? New creation rule. Spirit of God's in you. He's leading. He's guiding. By the way, we get this, right? Adultery's wrong. You still know that? I mean, we looked at that back in chapter 5, right? We looked at that nasty list. Works of the flesh, verse 19. They're manifest. They're obvious. What is it? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and more to it than that, such like, right? Which I told you before, as I've told you in time past, they which do these things, they which practice, continuously do these things, they're not going to heaven. They're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now the Spirit of God comes into us, and he leads us, and he guides us. Do you think he ever leads us into adultery? No, never. That's blasphemy. Don't ever say that. Don't ever think that. Don't ever think that he could ever do it. He's holy. He's the Holy Spirit. The extramarital spirit, that's a different spirit. Will the Holy Spirit lead us into murder? Only never. Or any of that list, with witchcraft, emulations, heresies, the whole list. Will the Holy Spirit lead us into that? No, never. Never. Listen, who as many as live by this rule, what? The new creation rule. As many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them. And mercy upon the Israel of God. Did Paul just take a swipe at the Judaizers? Yes, he did. He said, you're the real Israel. What? What do you mean? What do you mean, the real Israel? You are Israel. Now, I'm not talking about dominionism. I'm not talking about replacement theology, okay? I got to be very, very careful here. Who's Israel? You. Who keep this rule? Does God have a plan for Israel? Yeah, at the time of Jacob's troubles, God's going to show up in a real way and redeem his people. Read Romans chapter 11 and get back to me if you have any questions about that. As a matter of fact, read Romans 9, 10, and 11, okay? It will do you a lot of good. Romans tells us God still has a plan for his people. Now, having said that, and I think I've ticked all the boxes. I'm not an anti-Semite, and I'm not a replacement theologian. Having said that, who's the true Israel of God today, right here, right now? You, who are applying this rule, who are the new creature rule, You're living that way. You're the real Israel of God. These Judaizers, they're not. They're not the Israel of God. What's Israel? Anyone know what the name means? Remember Jacob and God wrestling? The angel Lord, God. It's Jesus Christ, but that's a story for another time. They're wrestling. He says, I'm not going to call your name heel grabber anymore, Jacob. From now on, I'm changing your name to Israel. What does Israel mean? Ruled by God. You'll see it in your, sometimes you'll say prince with God. It's talking about a ruler, but it's ruled by God. Who's ruled by God? You? Me? Do I keep rules? Do's and don'ts? Bunch of I can'ts and I musts, and I try to get the musts more than the I can'ts and get my way into heaven because God grades on a curve. No, I'm the real Israel God. I'm really ruled by God. He wakes me up. He speaks to my heart. He tells me, and I'm about to do something bad. And I get this little, quick, little, tiny whisper of a, that, you shouldn't do that. Remember who you are. You're my child. You're Calvary Chapel pastor. You don't want to set that bad example. And so much of my life is ruled by that. Ruled by what? God. The Spirit of God in my life saying, I talk to my wife harshly. I don't yell at her, call her a monstrous name that I'm going to be at the florist buying flowers for later, trying to get back out of the doghouse. I don't do that. But I'm short with her. I'm tense. I take my work home, and it was a hard day. So she just gets in the way and gets hit in the crossfire. She says something, and I just kind of, and the Spirit of God, he's right there every time. You need to apologize to her. That was wrong. She didn't do anything. Oh, you're right. Lord, you're right. Ruled by God. Am I the only one here who knows what I'm talking about? Because I look at some people, and some of you guys, I don't know what he's on about, but I know. No, you know what it is. If the Spirit of God's really alive in life, and you cultivate that voice, if you keep running through that stop sign, after a while you'll stop hearing. I know that to be sure because it's happened in my life as well. And you've got to really come to a place of repentance, and Lord, restore in me that I don't want to be that person. I want to be ruled by you. I want you to say what I need, and don't let me run through all them stop signs again. And you get back, and you kind of get back to square one. You start starting again, being filled with the Spirit, being walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. It's a wonderful life. The other thing, do the flesh thing. It's a mess. It always ends up in religion, and then you always end up being judgmental, and it's a horrible. I understand why people, we tell them about Jesus and that thanks but no thanks. They don't get it. They think we're just trying to force religion down their throat. We're trying to give them a bunch of rules, and they think, like, I got enough rules in my life. Thank you very much. It's got nothing to do with that. As many as walk according to his rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God, the true Israel of God, you, the ones who really are walking in the Spirit, who have got this new man principle down. From henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ? Stigmata. You see, I saw this movie, Stigmata. This guy had, like, he just stopped bleeding and had the marks of the crucifixion on him. This means that has nothing to do with this. Like if you were like a Roman legionnaire, you would put the stigmata, the mark of your company or your commander on you if you were loyal to that company. That's all he's saying here. Me, my commanding general is Jesus Christ. I'm bearing his marks. What do those marks look like in Paul's life? Well, if you took his shirt off, you'd know what his marks look like. He's the one beaten with rods. Five times of the Jews received 39 stripes. Imagine Paul, what his back looked like. It'd just be, you couldn't find any skin that wasn't like a braided or welts or a calloused over or that wasn't scar tissue. If you took all the scar tissue off his back, you could see his ribs, I'm sure of it. Incredible. And he's like, hey, leave me alone. Let me tell you, I bear the marks of Jesus Christ. What's that? You guys, anyone here? I know I'm talking about kids. Anyone see the movie Walking Tall? You remember a Buford Prusser when he pulls his shirt off because he got that gang, they stabbed him all over the place and knifed him and cut him all up and it wasn't going real good in the courtroom. And finally, he just rips his shirt off. And he says, allowing them to get away with this is allowing them to do this to any one of you. And he had all this. And his back looked like, just it was a mess. It was all scars and stuff like that. And he won the day, you know. So they went out, the jury went out, and they came back like 23 seconds later, guilty, 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 and they all, you know. So Paul, think of that scene. This is Paul. Have been the marks of Jesus Christ. And in what he's saying is, them punks, they got that? Do they get? Let me see your scar tissue. You want to show me how much you're rocking it for Jesus. Let me see what you're all about. No, that take it the easy gospel, the do rules gospel. That never brings any rods or beatings or imprisonment or shipwreck or none of that stuff. He's saying, no, you know what? I can tell you that I'm the real deal. Don't let anyone trouble me. Leave me alone. I'm bearing in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I don't really, Adam. It's America. It's the 21st century. We don't generally, in America, get beaten up for being a Christian. Brace for impact. We will. I'm telling you, I'm not a prophet, but I can read the writing on the wall. It's going to happen. And you will have the marks of Jesus Christ, or you'll punk out. You're going to have a chance to stand for Jesus. And I don't think it'll look at just getting laughed at kind of stand either. I've been trying to tell you for a long time. Write it down. Write it down. I don't want to go to jail. Will I? I don't know. I don't know how fast things are going to unfold. First gay couple comes and says, I want to be married, and I'm going to be very respectful and be very pleasant. I'm a man of God. I don't yell or holler or yell at people or make them feel bad. I'm going to say, no, we don't do that here. I'm sorry. The Bible says that I can't do that. And I'll try to win them to Christ and tell them about Jesus Christ and his glorious gospel that transforms. What will happen? Court case? Fine? Imprisonment? I don't know. Will I marry same-sex people? No. Am I a hater? That's what they'll say. And they'll paint me as this big, you know, ogre who just likes to hate and I don't. Will we see jail time? I don't know. It's changing every day. I don't know what, but I think we're going to have an opportunity to stand for Christ. If that gets you very upset, figure it out. First to last, you're going to live life and then die. 100 years from today, none of this stuff's going to matter. The only thing that's going to matter is Jesus Christ and what you've done for him. It's the only thing. Figure it out. This life isn't all there is. Live for him, die for him, just be his totally. What else is there to life? Really? Something less. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit, amen. He ends up saying the grace of God be with you. Look, Galatians, the rules of Moses be with you. Now, the grace of God be with you. It's this gospel that works, or there is no gospel. There's no good news. Try harder, good luck. Be better, good luck. You're awesome. I'm just lying to you. You ain't. Adam, every time you say that I don't impress you, that really stresses me out. So, I don't impress me. People don't impress me. They don't. If you live in love of the Lord, that impresses me somewhat, but I know where that comes from. I know the Spirit of God's doing that in your life. That's the Spirit of God working in your life, putting your marriage together, making you awesome, making you a great worker and a good person and fun to be around. And that's the work of the Spirit of God in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't he a wonderful God? Because I'm telling you, like, I'm saved now for 36 years. 35 and a half. Look, before that, I wouldn't be doing this. You wouldn't like me. I wasn't a good person. I wasn't a good citizen. There was nothing commendable about my whole life. You say, I see some stuff now. That's the Spirit of God in my life. I don't impress me in and of myself. I know when I was running the thing, when I was ruling, living my life for myself, it wasn't pretty. It was a train wreck. And I know Jesus Christ can restore and redeem and fix. And he's an awesome God. He's a wonderful Savior. If you don't know him, listen, what are you waiting for? Why don't you come up here afterwards? We'll talk about it. I'll lead you in prayer. I won't be undignified or anything. I ain't going to try to make you cry or anything weird like that. We're talking about this, you know, this morning on the way down here. Get prayer. I mean, I'm not trying to work on your guilt or anything. You got a snotty nose going, a cold coming on, or get prayer. If you don't want, have me pray for you up here and an elder or something like that, get prayer just before you go. Just get prayer. I mean, it's a good thing. And you need to do business with God, find somebody. Find me. Find somebody. Say, listen, I don't know. I thought religion was a bunch of do's and don'ts, and I heard different today. I want in. I want in on Jesus Christ. We'll make that happen. Don't go out of here not on board. There's no reason for it. Let's stand. Let's pray. Matt will send us out of here in song. Our Father and our God, a glorious and good book. We get it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, how we marvel at the great lengths that you went through to prove your love for us, to redeem us. And we've given up on any activity of the flesh. We love Jesus. We honor Jesus. We thank you so much for saving us, for making us your child, your children. And Lord, it's no hardship being your child. I love that the Spirit of God's in me. He can guide me and control me. I want to exhibit more and more of the fruit of the Spirit, more and more of the Spirit's influence in my life. Cause that to happen, Lord, and put the flesh down once and for all, because it never gets me where I want to go. It always promises, and it never delivers. Lord, thank and praise you for saving us, for as many of us who know and love Jesus Christ. And again, Lord, just do business in the lives of the ones who need to hear from you this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.